I want to thank Pastor Emmanuel for the word that he brought. It went to the heart about holiness and sanctification. And I thought about it too. What would this church look like if everybody would be just like me? And I realized that every single aspect of our lives really matters. Every single little aspect. I want us to look at Joseph, and I'll probably have multiple messages on Joseph. Because Joseph is a pattern of how God works in the life of someone who is called. And every child of God that is here or listening through the internet, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you belong to him, God has a calling and a destiny for you. And God's callings and destinies are amazing. They're just amazing. God's will is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect for each and every one of us. But just like jewelry or the vases or the utensils that were used for the temple that are made of pure gold, you don't just take gold and you hammer it into something. That gold has to go through a purification process in order to be able to be used for the glory of God and in God's temple. And it's no different for every spiritual leader. You're like gold. And God will say so, that you're gold. He's made you gold. And he'll take this gold and put it through the fire. And the fire, that gold is purified. The impurities come to the surface. And then God can use you. Why does God have to take us through so many tests when he has a calling for our lives? Well, because great power requires great responsibility. And we love a great calling. We love having a destiny. We love God speaking to us about what he has for us. You know, there's people listening that, if you're really honest, you don't even know what your calling is. Or you may have only had just a small glimpse of what your calling is. Some of us, we don't even notice the calling as a burning desire in our hearts. There's a difference when something comes from your spirit and when something comes from your flesh. And a lot of times Christians don't even differentiate what comes from their own spirit and what comes from their own flesh. A lot of times they'll misinterpret their own desires as being from God. And other times they'll confuse a burning desire that comes out of their spirit as being their own desire. And it requires the word of God, that double-edged sword that separates soul from spirit, to be able to differentiate what comes from God and what comes from you. And many people just have a burning, deep burning desire in their hearts, a calling, and they don't even know it's from God. Other people just have thoughts of what they think is God's calling, but it really comes from the flesh. I want to tell you that God's thoughts are always higher than our own thoughts. Every single time. And maybe you may have not had any revelation yet of what God's calling is for your life. You know, Joseph didn't always know what his calling was. He really didn't. God had to give him dreams to kind of show him, hey, I have a calling for your life. And the million-dollar question is, how do you travel from a calling, from a burning desire that God puts in your heart, all the way to the end product, to the destiny? What's in between? What do you have to go through? What happens along the way? Well, the reality is that Joseph had to pass a lot of tests, or a set of tests, before he could walk into the great calling that God had for him. Do you realize that if God would have just taken Joseph without a preparation and placed him straight into his calling, the calling that God had for him, to be the second most powerful person on earth behind Pharaoh. This was the superpower of the day. And Pharaoh essentially said, you know what? I'm just going to be a ceremonial figure. I don't want to worry about anything. Joseph, you take care of everything. Essentially, he was ruling the known world. Amazing power. armies at his disposal. If he wanted somebody's head off, it would just go off. He had to answer to no one. If God would just take you from your calling, from where you're at right now, and just place you straight into that calling, a lot of times the weight of the calling would destroy you. You would not be ready for it. There are things in your life and in your character that need to go through a purification process just like gold. In order for you to be able to carry the weight of glory, the responsibility, the awesomeness of what God has. And this is where a lot of people stumble. You will enter into God's calling if and only if you pass some tests. You know, I've realized the pattern, just like with Joseph. God took Joseph and gave him two dreams. You know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything shall be confirmed, or they shall be established. And God gave him a dream. And just to reinforce it to Joseph, this isn't a fluke. He gave him a second dream, and everyone knew this is happening. His father knew it. The problem is when God gives us the calling, we're usually surprised by it. He'll come and say, you're right here, and this is the calling that I have for you. Imagine being at the top of a mountain, and God comes and just parts the heavens and shows you a really high mountain and says, this is the calling that I have for you. And most people get really excited when that happens. God has a calling for my life. I'm going to travel from this point to the height of this mountain, not realizing that to get from one mountaintop to a higher one, you'll have to go through the valley. And that valley has a lot of obstacles and a lot of tests. And God took Joseph and said, Joseph, I have something really special for you. I'm going to take you from this place to another place. What Joseph was expecting is to just go from here to ruling, to being an awesome person, to everybody bowing down before him. The reality proved otherwise, that he had to go through this testing process. You know, the calling that God gives us serves as the necessary fuel for us to consecrate ourselves to what God has. If God wouldn't give you a calling through a dream, through a burning desire, through prophetic utterance, God speaks in many ways. If he wouldn't give you that, you would just go on your own way. So he'll take us when we least deserve it, when we least expect it, and say, I have something special for you. He'll give you a vision. He'll do something. He'll say, this is what I have for you. We get excited. The purpose of that is for each one of us to take that and to consecrate ourselves to that God-given purpose. To say, Lord, this is what you want to do for my life. I set everything else aside, and I want to consecrate myself for what you have. So I want to tell you this. If God hasn't done anything but given you a vision, a plan, a calling, the purpose of it for you is first to consecrate yourself, to say, the purpose of my life is to fulfill this God-given calling. And anything that gets in the way, I will shove aside. I won't get tripped up by anything else. I want to make sure that I enter into this. And I want to go over the first test, or fire, if you will, that Joseph had to go through. The first test that Joseph had to go through, and we will have to go through as well, is the pride test. You know, as soon as God revealed this plan to Joseph, Joseph essentially said this. He told his brothers and his entire family, God has revealed that I'm going to be greater than you. Get used to it. God has essentially said, I will be greater than every one of you. I'm going to give you an example from my life, because this will happen to each and every one of us. The career that I am in, God essentially opened the doors and showed me to go that way. And I got to a point where I finished my schooling. I worked for a few years. I went to the specialty training program, and God opened a few doors, and I think I mentioned it in my testimony. I ended up doing a research project with two other school deans, and it got published in the most prestigious journal of dentistry. And I was so proud of that. And I have to be honest, I started identifying like Joseph with the blessings that God was giving me. I'm like, I'm called to go into academia. And I was going to take my diplomate exam, where to become board certified, to become a diplomate of the board of the American Pediatric Dentistry. And the equivalent in Romanian would be să fiu academician. And I passed my written exam. And then I studied for an entire year. And now I had the oral exam. I flew to Dallas, and it was an 8-hour exam. 4 hours with two examiners in the morning, 4 hours with two examiners in the afternoon. And it's in a closed room, and two examiners put two cases on the screen and then ask you questions and ask you to describe diagnosis, what questions you would have, how you would treat. They bring very difficult cases. And the hardest part of that exam is in the morning. They give the most difficult questions in the morning. And I had my morning session for 4 hours, and everything went great. And I thought, this is it. 4 more hours, the easy part in the afternoon, and I'm board certified. I can become a dean of a school. I can become program director. I can now enter academia. And in the afternoon, I had two examiners. And the first examiner was an Asian American who looked at me and asked me a question. She had such a terrible accent. I didn't understand a single thing she said. I panicked for a second, and I said, excuse me, but I didn't understand. Can you please repeat the question? She got so offended, and she became so conscious of her accent that she pulled her chair back, lowered her volume, repeated her question really fast with a terrible accent, and I couldn't understand anything. I looked at her for a second. I looked at the case on the screen, and I just started talking. Sure enough, I failed that exam. The interesting thing is, as I walked out of that room, this was supposed to be the easy part. I knew exactly why I failed. I knew because of the pride that had been built up in my heart that I was achieving this. So I had to wait a whole other year to take the exams all over again, and I passed it the second time. I had friends who didn't have the same level of knowledge or experience who passed that exam that day. I felt this big. But God had to take me through that test to show something in me. And if you have pride in your life, believe you me, this is the first thing that you're going to run into. You won't be able to get anywhere with pride in your life. God will not share his glory with no one. The first sin in the universe was pride. When God built up Lucifer and made him so beautiful, the very first sin is pride. And one of the first tests that God will take us through is the test of pride. You know, Joseph saw himself as superior, and he really began to brag. If you read the entire text there, it talks about how Joseph used to tell on his brothers. Essentially, every time they did something bad, he would go tell on them. Era părăcios. He would go tell on them, and then they knew it. And in essence, every time he would tell on them, he was indirectly saying to his father, you see, I'm superior. I'm not like they are. But really, it was a symptom of pride. And he began to brag about his destiny and the calling of God almost immediately. So he shares with his brothers the first dream. He sees their reaction. They're not happy about it. He has a second dream. He knows they didn't like the first dream. And he's essentially saying, hey, listen, like it or not, hear this. God's confirming the fact that I'm going to rule over you. He says, look, I had another dream, and tells them the dream all over, knowing that they were offended and hurt by it. You know, when you're proud, you really don't care about other people's feelings. Because it's all about petting your own ego of how great you are. If we don't get to a place where we find our identity in who we are in Jesus, we're automatically into pride. If what defines us is the calling of God, the talents that God has given us, the education that we've received, the ministry that God has given us, the gifts that God has given us, if we're identifying with anything other than who we are in Jesus, we're in pride. If I have prophecies or visions, and I identify with that, and I'm superior because of that, you're in pride. If you have an amazing singing talent or preaching talent or whatever it may be, or an awesome education that God has helped you, if you're identifying with that, you're in pride. Because our only identity should be as who we are in Jesus. And God will allow for us, will allow circumstances in our lives for pride to come to the surface for one purpose and one purpose only. Not to show us how bad we are. No, to show us that we have a pride problem so that we can deal with it. These things were coming up. Joseph wasn't getting the hint. And may God help us to see it. And the second test, and I'm going to end with this one, is the pit test. Essentially, Joseph goes to his brothers to when his father sends for him, and his brothers throw him in the pit. It says, now when they saw him, saw Joseph coming from afar off, even before he came near them, they, his brothers, conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Something interesting happens. Joseph has the second dream. God has just confirmed that he's going to be awesome. He goes to his brothers to essentially to start practicing lording over them. And the exact opposite happens. Instead of them embracing him as the leader that he thought he was, they wanted to kill him. And they ended up throwing him into a pit. You know, when I finished school, my parents had to pay my bills for 6 months. I hated that pit. You know, when you're in the pit, the calling of God seems almost like a cruel joke. Here's Joseph with all this revelation from the Lord of what an awesome person he's going to be. And the exact opposite happens. He's in a pit. And this is a pit test. And this will happen to every single one of us. You'll hear the calling of God. You'll get excited about it. And then the exact opposite happens. And you will have to pass the pit test. Joseph's day started with a great outlook. Things were going to be great. You know, his brothers could use a little improvement in their behavior. His father was sending them to, you know, check on them because he was superior. The dream is starting to be fulfilled. And he went from the dream to the pit in a hurry in the span of one day. This was really a wake-up call to Joseph, who was a dreamer. He was someone that we would call in La La Land. His feet were not on the earth. He was just living the dream of what life is going to be like, and the reality of life hadn't hit him yet. And the reality of life really hits us when we end up in a pit. Now, the pit for every one of us looks a little different. But each one of us, we're going to have to go through that pit test sooner or later. Here's what Jesus said. He told the disciples, and he's telling us, in the world you will have tribulation. He didn't say that everything is going to be just honky-dory, that everything is just going to be awesome, that you'll never go through anything, that you won't have to go through the fire, that you won't have to go through trials and tribulations. No. He said we'll have to go through them, but he promised something, that he will be with us through every one of those. He promised that he will see us through. You see, when we're in the pit, it's so much easier to blame others. It was so easy for Joseph in the pit to say, I know what this problem is. He could have said, the problem is not me, the problem is my brothers. And he would have had some valid points. If you focus on others while you're in the pit, you're not going to solve your problem. You're going to miss the whole point of why you're there. While you're in the pit, you can't go down any further. You can only look at yourself and you can only look up. And God will allow the pit test in our lives so we can have an introspective look and to look at ourselves. A proper response is not to blame the brothers and to start grieving. I'm here because my brother and sister, they're just so bad. This is all happening. And this happens all the time in families. Just ask the pastors in this church. People are always crying about what other people are doing to them. And the reality is that you may be in a pit, and God wants you and wants each one of us to start looking at ourselves and kind of ask ourselves, have I contributed to this situation any? Because Joseph surely contributed to the situation. He had something to do with why he was there. And the proper question is, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? What do you want to correct in my life? As I'm going through this, is there any change that you want to do in me? Because our society today, I assure you, they do not ask themselves that question. It's a victim's mentality out there. You find all these people abusing children, and they claim that they weren't hugged enough as a child. Well, maybe you weren't hugged enough as a child. That doesn't give you an excuse to abuse other people. There are people who beat their wives and their children. They say, well, I was abused as a child. I'm sure I have sympathy for that, but you have a victim's mentality and you're creating even more victims. Sometimes it's good to just take a hard look at ourselves and say, maybe I have a problem. Maybe it's not always the people around me. You know, just Joseph could have said, you know, they're just jealous of my calling and my gifting. Yes, that was partly true, but you had something to do with it as well. Joseph had a pride problem, and we all have a pride problem, like we said. But being in the pit, a lot of things will come to the surface. Now, the enemy is also going to use the opportunity of the pit to destroy you. God is trying to tell us something through the pit. The enemy is going to try to say something in the pit. If you look at the Spirit of God, he will say and point things out while you're in the pit. But if you allow the enemy, he'll say a lot of things while you're in the pit. And the lies of the pit are something like this. You're no good or you wouldn't be here. If you were any good, you wouldn't end up where you're at. You're not very good. Tu nu te descurci în viață. You're a loser. The reality is that you're nothing. This is why you ended up here. You're just a dreamer, but nothing good will come out of you. You'll never do anything for God. You're never going to end up getting out of this pit. Your life will turn out to be nothing. You'll never amount to anything. All of them lies. Even worse, to say it's over. There's nothing left to do for you and your life. Your dreams are never going to come to pass, or what God has revealed to you. God has said this, has he? Look at where you're at. There's many people that are in the pit that say, is God even real? You wouldn't be here if he was. But God was real, and Joseph was in the pit, and God allowed it. It will tell you that God is not who he says he is, that God doesn't care about you. When you're in the pit, the enemy will try to get you to focus on your circumstances, rather than for you to focus on God's faithfulness. If there's something really good about Joseph, there's one thing that he didn't doubt. It was God's faithfulness. He knew that God was faithful. If you look through all the tests that he went through, there was something about him trusting in God's faithfulness. I want to tell you something. God is faithful to the calling that he has for your life. You may be in the pit. That doesn't mean that God is unfaithful. God remains faithful. I want to tell you that when you're in the pit, remember something. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. Jesus was at the beginning of your faith. He's with you in the pit, and he is the author and the finisher of your faith. Look at Jesus. Yes, the pit will bring to the surface compromises, strongholds that are present in our lives, but the purpose is not to condemn you with them. The purpose is for you to deal with them together with Jesus. So when you're in the pit and you see the compromises in your lives, when you see the defects of character, that's not a time to stand under guilt and condemnation. That's the time to say, yes, Lord, I want to deal with this in my life. I want to serve you. I want to do what's right. The purpose of the pit is to lead us to repentance. You know, when Jonah was swallowed up by the fish, his purpose wasn't to die in the middle of an ocean swallowed up by a fish. No, his pit, the purpose was for repentance, for a change of mind, for a turnaround. Somewhere in the pit, Joseph took ownership of the reason why he was there. And I pray that we would all take ownership for the reason why we're in the pit. And this is a time to look at the Lord, to lift our eyes to the heavens. You can't go any further anyways. You know, when you're in the pit, the only way out is up. So we might as well stop looking at what the enemy's saying, deal with our problems, and look to Jesus and to trust them. And I want us to do that tonight. Would you please stand and let's all look to Jesus and to tell the Lord, Doamne, Tu ești soluția la problema mea. Doamne, la Tine toate lucrurile sunt cu putință. Spune cuvântul Domnului, este vreun lucru prea dificil, prea greu pentru Domnul? Absolutely nothing. Să venim la Domnul cu groapa noastră și să-i spunem Domnului, Doamne, scoate-ne Tu afară. Și când rugăciunea va încheia, invit pe fratele păstor Lazar să vină să mulțumească Domnului pentru serviciul din această seară. Să ne rugăm.